Thank you. Well, have we got a Congress?
Yes.
Okay. You want to hear about anything in particular at this Congress? Anything particular you want to hear about? I tell you, I didn't bring any notes. Well, I'll tell you with great rapidity what ground we're going to cover at this particular Congress. We have to cover Stays Clear. We have to cover HS co-audit. We have to cover processes. We have to cover you and what you've been up to. I had my eye on you. We have to cover quite a few things. I don't think very many of you have much of an idea of actually what it takes to sit in the boots and chairs I sit in. I really catch it. Really catch it. And, I don't know, my communication lines, international, carry about 8,000 separate communications a week. Number of pre-clears under processing internationally, number of students under training, various administrative lines. Good God, the staffs of the HASI abroad and so forth go in excess of 250 people. HCO right now internationally, I don't know how many people there are in my own private offices around the world. There must be 70, something like that. Haven't even counted them up. And all of the stuff that bypasses across my desk, it just looks like a roaring avalanche. And some of you, I think, very peacefully sitting and auditing pre-clear someplace. And I think, boy, you're lucky. You're lucky. When it gets too tough for me, I put my pruning shears in my pocket, my hat on the back of my head, and go out to the greenhouses and inspect the petunias. And sure enough, some emergency messenger from the other side of Earth will come dashing in to say, "Ron, there's a terrific emergency going on right now, and we have to have at once your decision with regard to so-and-so and so-and-so and the corporate identity of such-and-such and such-and-such and so forth." I say, "Isn't that a nice petunia?" Stops them. It stops them cold every time. Dear, some people have asked me why I didn't write an autobiography. I doubt I ever will. Nobody'd believe it. The title of it would be, however, "How to Live in a Hurricane and Like It." Well, I want to talk to you about clearing. It's very important that I talk to you about clearing. Right now, our terminology and so forth and states and statuses of clear need themselves clarification. A great deal of confusion along this line, a great deal of misinformation and so forth. And I would like to set it straight and just take off and talk about clears. What are they? What can be expected of one? How you can get up to that level? And what's from there on out? Would you like to hear about that? All right, so enough of the personality picture. Let's get on with the show. Here's the first thing you must know about Clear. He's himself. The world today has been so imbued with the philosophy of socialism, communism, identificationism, even democracy, where everybody is so equal. Everybody believes that if you straighten somebody out and then straighten somebody else out, then they both be equal. Now you're looking reverse end too. If you plowed two fellows totally into the mire and got them all the way at the bottom of the scale, which I think is mud, they'd be equal. They would have equal characteristics. They would talk equally. They would eat equally. They would ache equally. They would In short, be awfully equal. And the only inequality there'd be in the society would be that commissars are more equal than others. Now, that is the direction of equality, where every person is the same as every other person exactly. No slightest difference or variation. Now, when you start to free somebody, he starts to free up from these fixed beingnesses which have overwhelmed him and which hold him powerless in some rigid course of existence. Now, of course, what does any slave master want of a slave? He wants the slave to be able to pick up the bag of millet and open the top of the bag of millet and then pick it up and put it into the grinder and so on and close the bag of millet and put it down over here. And he wants each person handling millet to be able to do that. And they must all do it just like this. He don't want none of this kind of stuff. Too individual. The greatest ambition of a slave master is to have every person a duplicated cog in an invariable machine so that at no time does any certain part of the machine go wrong. The funny part of it is, the only way you could have such a machine where nothing ever went wrong would be in an organization of clears. There wouldn't be very much machinery to it, however, but nothing would go wrong, and everything would get done. But in an aggregation of slaves, the more they try to make total equality work, the more things go wrong. Actually, they never do succeed in making every person equal to every other person, but they try. Names cease to exist. They start giving people numbers. A62-4, A62-5, A62-6. This is the vital statistics birth list. They know no differences. Now, people get swinging in that direction. They get educated in that direction. And they believe that if they got clear, they would get more equal or something. Or they believe if a bunch of people got cleared, then they would all be equal. I'm afraid that isn't the case. They didn't start in equal at the beginning of track, and they're not going to wind up that way clear. Now, that doesn't say that one would have bad characteristics and another would have good characteristics. Doesn't say that at all. But it merely means they would be different. They would be different, person to person. Their individualities would be more pronounced. Now, halfway up the line, the individual is afraid to exhibit an individuality. He's showing everybody he's clear, you know. He's careful not to make any social errors or blunders, because after all, he's carrying the weight and so forth, and the reputation of the organization. He's got Ron's reputation to worry about, so. That's at about the level of mess clear. And a mess clear kind of feels trembly this way occasionally. He thinks to himself, you know, I've got to act clear. You know, I've got to act clear. And then he asks himself, well, now, how should a clear act? And he gets halfway mad at me because I won't implant him with a certain series of actions that are dependably clear actions, and he doesn't get into arguments about being clear. You know? Clears always shake hands this way. You know? Now, people become a little bit afraid in the face of freedom. As a result, when a clear demonstrates an individuality, if he's just at mess clear, which is a man just clear in the body and trying to get along. You see, the trouble with a mess clear is simply this. That's the first grade of clear. And he's simply clear of his bank. His bank isn't registering and kicking him in the teeth. That's the only thing that he has in his favor. And he's trying to live in a world where this is true. You cannot be human and be right. That is not possible. You cannot be human and be right. Joe, whose guts you hate, shows up, and you have to say, "Hello, Joe, how are you? How are you doing, Joe? How is the family, Joe?" "Well, I've always been your friend, Joe." You just cannot be human and be right. If you go through and recall the actions you have taken in any given hour while walking about in the society, you will see that you have forced wrongnesses on yourself. In other words, you have acted untruly to your own feelings. It is a custom amongst playwrights that at least once in each playwright's lifetime, he writes a play with this plot, that for 24 hours, one of his characters has to tell nothing but the truth. And of course, this is a beautiful play, and it shows the fellow at the end of the time cut to ribbons, you know, and lying there in pools of blood. Because, of course, you cannot tell nothing but the truth and act nothing but the truth, according to the best philosophers, for 24 hours consecutively and wind up alive at the end of it. If you told everybody the truth, well, that is just one of the booby traps and is a wrongness that goes with being human. Believing that is a wrongness. It isn't even true. If you were to tell the truth for 24 hours, you would probably come up at the end of it with your first real friends. That's right. Because you would have a reality about you that nobody could dim. That would be our reality right there. Boom. You've always said to this office boy, the office boy comes in, he does this and that. You've always said to him, "Good morning, Sammy." And you said this, "Sammy, why the hell didn't he comb his hair?" "Good morning, Sammy. How is it going?" And this 24 hours when you decide to tell the truth, why, he walks in, usual tousled mess, and you say to him, "Sammy, for the love of God, why don't you comb your hair?" And Sammy looks at you, and he says, "Is that why you irritated with me every morning? Thank you." And goes and combs his hair. The fiction of being human, and it's only a fiction that people live their whole lives through, the fiction of being human has within it the fiction that you must not be forthright or right. Old age and illness are simply compounds made of being wrong. That's all. Now you think maybe you'd blow the whole society up. Well, you might. Who cares? If it blew it in the direction of being more real, it would be a better society. If it blew it in the direction of individually, community-wise and internationally, telling nothing but the truth and speaking nothing but reality, you for sure would see a better world. So here is this fixed idea. If you're human, you can't be right. That's a fixed idea. And the clear comes up against that as the first thing he has to wrestle with. Here he all of a sudden is not restrained totally into being wrong, but he doesn't want to hurt people's feelings. He very often has in the environment people who are rather 1-1 or 1-5 or trying to knock his anchor points back in very rapidly, trying to make him introvert because now he's extroverting. They don't quite like it. He has to cope with a situation where he himself has the feeling that he ought to just simply be real and express his own individuality, personality, his own feelings, and so forth, and be true to himself and not deny himself continually and always the way he used to do when he was subhuman. You see? And he gets this idea that he ought to be real. When he tries to be real, other people try to blunt him in, you know, and push his anchor points back. Now he's in an unfortunate position. He's not up to 100,000 megatrons. And when the stuff is padded in his direction, he has already recognized the right of the other person to do so and has postulated his own responses to be offended by it. Missed clear. Now, that's the first thing he's got to learn to live with, the first thing he has to resolve, and the auditor can't come along and tell him how to do it or what to do about it. And it's something almost along the lines of a little kid learning to walk for the first time. You can pick him up by the strap of his rompers and set him up again. You can keep prying him off of the pavement. You can keep dabbing the iodine and mercurochrome on his bruised knees and forehead. But the way he learns to walk is by learning to walk himself. And you're never going to get him to walk holding him up all the time and steadying him all the time as he tries to walk, because he'll never learn to walk. And therefore, mess clear is a very trying state to be in and a very hard state to understand, because a person comes up to the point where his engrams aren't kicking him to pieces and he has to decide for the first time what he's doing and why he's doing it and learn to live with himself in the environment with a decent level of reality. And sometimes the first time they come up to clear, they don't make it. And they start stepping on the banana peels. And they start sliding back. And they'll go around and tell their friends hastily, "I'm not clear. I was mistaken." Too much responsibility. That's all it is. The individual just had not decided the critical decision to take responsibility for all of his own actions and take responsibility for expressing his own personality totally as it is. He still got the feeling that there's some little tiny things that he still ought to be doing like everybody else. He doesn't do them right. He does them accepted. And somewhere, there's a critical point where he ceases to do them accepted and starts doing them right. And at that point, you could say he was a stable clear. He's willing to express what he himself thinks or feels. Now, it's very horrifying to some people to see a clear get mad. They think a clear should be fixed at serenity. You know? No, a clear isn't stuck on the tone scale. I remember one group threw something into my lap one day. They were so proud that they had done something so wrong. They dropped this into my lap with a kind of a smug, "Well, we've sure got this fouled up now." And I said, blankety, blank, 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 at 1.5, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, and the walls turned a brilliant shade of purple. A couple of them afterwards did get their hearing back. But they went away and they said, we always thought Ron was close to being clear. Now they knew he wasn't. Well, it wasn't a point whether I was or wasn't. They simply would not take responsibility for anybody being flexible on the tone scale. You know what people complain about when they're really crazy? They complain that they can't emote anymore or experience emotions or feelings. Did you know that? People in institutions and so on, they're just fixed at one emotion, usually a sort of a wooden emotion or an anxiety or some other emotion, but it'll be one emotion and they're stuck with it. And they can't fluidly experience various emotions. Well, it's not worth living unless you can emote in some direction or another. And you'll find a clear getting more apathetic and more serene and more enthusiastic and more angry and more covert and more griefy than anybody else. It's quite remarkable. But it doesn't go on very long, and he doesn't get stuck with it. You get the idea? He's not stuck with it. Somebody came in, told him something was very sad. So he says, God, that's sad. Of course, he's upsetting in another direction. Because if somebody came in immediately afterwards and said, have you heard the latest one about the farmer's daughter? And he goes in and tell him about the farmer's daughter, and clearly say, boy, that's terrific! The person is standing there saying, this fellow ought to be stuck in beautiful sadness now. In other words, a flexibility or fluidity of emotion is one of the characteristics of Claire. That's very interesting. The level of mess Claire has really not been reached at all unless the fluidity or flexibility of emotion has also been attained. Now, where we have the individual able to experience, we certainly have him very much less afraid, don't we? So a Claire has to listen all the time to cautions without believing them. People start cautioning him. He starts doing things. And people try to get him to make again the postulate that if he does something, he will be hurt, which is the motif of punishment. And when a person has begun to lose this one, and at mess clear, it isn't lost. A person can still be hurt, believe me. But when a person begins to lose the idea that if he does anything active at all, he will be hurt. When he begins to lose this idea, he begins to do things. And people who seek to cut down his doingness, who can't stand that much action or activity, try to teach him the lesson all over again. They try to say, you'll be hurt. You'll be hurt if you do that. You say, I'm going to climb up the roof to you and fix the antenna on the... So on, you're going to... He's a fool if he listens. Mestclear is all very well and is a highly attainable goal and is a heck of a lot further than we thought people could get. But it's not good enough. It's hard to live with. It's not good enough. An individual desires to express his own individualities, his own likes and dislikes, And he can't quite postulate out of existence the resistance to his doing so. He's clear on the first dynamic. And he has to get clear on the second and third before he's got an environment under control. And that's what we call a theta clear. First, second, third, clear. The three dynamics, the dynamic of self, the dynamic of sex and children, the dynamic of the group, these things have got to be clear before a fellow is stable. In other words, a theta clear is good enough. He isn't necessarily spectacular, but he's good enough. He can stay that way. He doesn't have to deny himself because of the second dynamic or the third dynamic, see? He doesn't have to be shy of or individuated from the second dynamic or the third dynamic. He doesn't have to stay out of groups. He doesn't have to be in the groups. But more importantly, when he's talking to somebody who is so aberrated that the person would tend to invalidate him, and the fellow says, yeah, you're an awful nice guy. You're dead right. That's right. In other words, he carries an environmental influence. His ability to make a postulate is capable of influencing his environment. So if you get one of these boys in a car, and the car's driving very rapidly down a highway, and some character, some typical Sunday driver, decides to drive across the middle line because he's tired of it all, but they declare in the car, carrying, you might say, a zone of influence. The car starting to come that way would go back on the highway and continue on its way, and this car would continue on its way. Got the idea? He isn't continually agreeing to be hurt and isn't continually agreeing to everything being wrong. So therefore, the things that go wrong in his vicinity are minimal. See that? In other words, he's lucky. And the people around him are lucky. And, quote, some people are lucky, unquote, you know. And some people, quote, are unlucky, unquote, you know. It's all inexplicable, all in the hands of the gods. And if you burn a certain amount of joss at the correct temple and pay the priests a certain amount of quick drachmae, they'll make you lucky because the gods will look after you, you know. That's all out the window. The fellow is lucky because his own zone of influence is adequate to take care of the situation. You understand? In other words, an individual isn't up against now the idea that he will be reacted against if he is right, that he will be reacted against if he expresses his own individuality or personality. He isn't agreeing continually to be cut back and upset because he can't be himself. Got the idea? Well, that's good enough. That's good enough. And short of that, boy, life is just like shooting dice. Loaded dice belonging to the other fellow. Now, where an individual has decided to make the grade, he can today make it. And he'll go through something approaching mess clear and processing, and as he goes up the line, he'll get closer and closer to it, and the E-meter will register less and less, and he starts reading more and more frequently at clear reading, and pretty soon it's constant and continual on a clear reading, and his pictures are more and more under control and less kicking in, and less unexpected things happen to him in processing, and his changes are much more rapid, and things flatten out easier, and he's getting up here, you know, and all of a sudden he got an idea. Where's the bank, you know? It was funny. I used to think sausage and a green monster used to show up over there. Sausage. No monster. Sausage. 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 I guess the point where he has confidence on the first dynamic and in his own beingness. And then begins this thing I've been talking to you about. He tries to adjust to the environment, understand the environment, look at all there, find out what personality's got, you know. He takes it out and he looks at it. And tries to get himself going somehow and wonders if he's going all right. And he walks either one of two directions. He either walks with more and more confidence forward into the sun, or he walks more and more nervously, wondering what's going to happen. And eventually goes around and tells his friends, you know, I wasn't clear after all. I can be human just like you. I can get along with you now. Unfortunately, he has the power to postulate himself again into the soup without the power of restraining himself from postulating. He'll postulate himself into more upset without knowing what he's doing to himself. And nearly all messed clears tell you when they first hit this stage, you see, it's something you hit and then learn to live with. And they first tell you when they first hit this, when they're learning to live with it, and so on, saying, you know, I never realized before where the bottom of the ladder was, but I just now got one toe on the lowest and bottomest rung of the ladder. And that's as far as I've gotten, and I know I'm clear, but what I'm mostly clear about is how far I still have to go. That's what he's found out, and that's an invariable statement. They always tell you, well, we're just exactly at the bottom. You know? And now we can climb. And what they're climbing, of course, is actually the dynamics. They get to the bottom of the ladder. They themselves are fairly straightened up on the first dynamic themselves, but they've got seven dynamics to go. Now, when they're up to the third, you might say, you've got something resembling a theta clear. And a theta clear is able to put a bank there or not put a bank there, as the case may be. He can have or not have a bank, as opposed to a mess clear who simply just doesn't have a bank. This theta clear can put a bank there or not put a bank there. Now, most people think when you say theta clear, they get it mixed up with exteriorization. They say, well, he'd have to be out of his head and so forth. Well, a theta clear who isn't out of his head and so forth wouldn't be violating the rules, but I don't see how he could still be in his head. Got the idea? But this isn't a deciding characteristic. The deciding characteristic is can he put a bank there or not put a bank there? And if a bank is there, can he just as is the bank that is there? Is he's having this so well adjusted that he can vary it on a reactive level? He is no longer reactive. Now, this sometimes is very upsetting to people who are used to living with a lot of automaticities. The clock goes round and gets to a certain hour, 12 o'clock, and they're hungry. See? Now, theta clear gets into this sort of a thing. The clock is no longer connected to his stomach. And when it gets to 12 o'clock, nothing happens. Got the idea? He'd have to decide he was hungry and then go eat. And he'd have to set the whole association up all over again, but he would set it up and find out that he could hold it set up this way and still remain conscious that it was set up this way without it suddenly and mysteriously occluding on him, becoming an automaticity. In other words, you have something on automatic that wasn't an automaticity. It comes around 12 o'clock, and he is nowhere near any place to eat, so he just says, this is the automaticity, and he isn't hungry. That's it. Now, it's 3 o'clock, and he is in a terrific restaurant, you know? And there's pâté de foie gras and orange ice and Cape Cod salmon and Boston baked beans and other delicious edibles. And these delicious edibles are to be had in vast quantity. And he just ate. See, he just ate. He just came away from the table. Well, he says, "Boy, I'm sure hungry," and pitches in, you know. For instance, just last night, somebody very happily handed me, very thoughtfully handed me, a great big chocolate ice cream bar. You know, I hadn't ate dinner yet. They handed me this ice cream bar, and I stood there and ate the ice cream bar. And then went out and ate a terrific Chinese dinner by simply deciding I was hungry. You don't eat ice cream bars and Chinese dinners and remain healthy if you're human. Now, of course, I'm human. And if I can do it, human, why, you sure should be able to do it, they declared. Well, what you get is an environmental influence here along this line. It's environmental. An individual who is cleared, of course, wouldn't be preventing all the time bad things happening. See? He wouldn't have walking an automatic protective screen, the kind you're supposed to be able to buy at the local temple with the joss. See? He hasn't got one of these things. Nothing much happens unless he postulates it, you see? Nothing real bad happens unless he really mocked it up. You know, he still could mock it up, you know. He still could mock up something in the china shop and all of a sudden every piece of china in the place would fall on the floor. You know, he could even mock himself up getting cut. You know, he's not necessarily totally incapable. Now, this fellow in his environment goes into a shoe store and nothing much is happening in the shoe store. He doesn't have to make everything happen in the shoe store that's going to happen in the shoe store. He isn't protecting everything in the shoe store from having something happen to it. You got these different frames of mind because these are recognizably human frames of mind. Going around protecting everything all the time. Going around making sure that you think the right thoughts and do the right actions, you know. And if you walk along on the exact tight rope, somehow or another, you will get there. If you don't lift up your head, and if you don't say hippopotamus. He's relaxed about it. Now, somebody speaks to him something like that. He answers with considerable truth. And this is sometimes very upsetting to people, and they don't do a thing about it. You get the vast difference. Now, destruction is such a late affair beyond creation that to think that an individual who was clear would engage in tremendous quantities of destruction is to think that he's not clear. You see, in the first place, what we consider construction and destruction are both second-hand actions. Destruction never gets rid of anything, nothing. All of Europe was sweeping up rubble after the cities of Europe were destroyed. You see? Well, all it is a disorderly destruction is really merely a disorderly displacing of existing materiel and placement and upsetting its sequence in time. So all that man refers to as destruction is simply a big confusion. See, so he thinks he's destroying things, show you how downscale he is, if he gets everything confused. Now the funny part of it is, the commie operates on this totally. He thinks he's destroying everything simply if he confuses things. And it's his total modus operandi. And if he's confused things enough, then he's certain they're destroyed. Very interesting. So people who walk up to you and try to get you very, very confused are liable to go away very satisfied because they know they've destroyed you utterly. Why? Well, You got confused, didn't you? Therefore, you must have been destroyed. Now, real destruction is clear up here, much higher than theta clear, real destruction. But real destruction would be, well, there's a table, there's no table. There wouldn't be anything left of it at all, not even a memory that it had been there. See, that'd be total destruction. What's destructive about it? Since you couldn't possibly do this to a life form, you couldn't do this to a life form. Another living thing. You could knock out some of his creations or get him in a frame of mind where he would as-is them. You could get him to straighten things out, or you could confuse him. So you can say that the clearer a person is, the less he destroys. And the more effective he is. Now, the state of being clear means a state of being able to bring more and more and better order. You can put things in order. You can put things in order and have them stay that way. Or you can put them lightly in order and watch them blow apart. Or you don't have to put them in order at all. See, there's many variations of the thing. Or you take things that are in order and put them in some different order. Or you as-is them. But the end goal of life isn't going around getting everybody and everything confused. Now think of all the aberrated people you've ever known, and you'll see what I mean. Wasn't the end goal of all of their actions a greater confusion in the environment? Wasn't that basically the end goal of all their actions? Greater confusion. Even a psychotic who is lying there totally catatonic skits has certainly got his environment going around in circles. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Grace won't wake up, you know. Satisfactory state of confusion, you know, and there's Grace, you know. Oh, boy. Now, the end goal of all aberration is just what it says, unstraight lines. Things mixed up. Everything disorderly and going in circles. And if we get a world that's confused enough, it'll all be dead. And then that's good. Get the idea? Let's build an atom bomb. That'll confuse everybody. And let's go on for years testing it and testing it and testing it. Get everybody nuts. Isn't that wonderful? What an ambition. I dare say that if a dozen or two Scientologists got together and decided to straighten out the international situation operating up here, theta clear or above, it'd just straighten out. Because destruction appears to be so powerful. People who destroy things appear to be so strong. The world seems to be able to pay them so much homage that they overlook something. Did you ever see a victim able to reach anything? Think of it for a moment. Have you ever seen a victim capable of tremendous reaching and destruction? Could he actually do very much? All right, let's just take a real victim. He's out there in the street and he gets run over by an automobile. All right, there's confusion generates in his vicinity. Yes, this is agreed upon. But does he really do anything? No, he simply lies there with a fractured skull, doesn't he? Isn't that right? Oh, it's big confusion. His family's all upset. The income lines, the bank account is all going. Yeah, but he didn't do anything, did he? In other words, he really isn't reaching. Others are having to furnish the reach. Right? Other people do. And that's true of any downscale person. Other people have to furnish the reach to get the confusion going. A person who is very aberrated then is totally parasitic on somebody else's efforts to get the vicinity or environment in a confused state. Somebody else has to do it because they can't reach at all. What if you just forgot him? I just get to see, and the guy's lying there in the street, and the car just run over, and he's got a fractured skull, and all goes down, there's the cops there, and the witnesses all coming over, and the traffic's all stacking up, and people are leading out the building, work stopped every place, all communication lines are cut, and so forth. Boy, confusion, confusion, confusion. You say it'd be a hell of a world to live in, I agree with you, but what if this guy gets knocked down, gets a fractured skull, and nobody pays any attention whatsoever? The cop says, the motorist that hit him drives on. Not even pedestrian look. Would there be any confusion caused by it? Would the consequences of this guy getting hit in the head then be as great as the confusion added to it, plus the guy being hit on the head? No, wouldn't. Other people, living, breathing people, had to furnish the confusion. Not right? All right. What's this all about internationally then? Someplace there must be a victim somewhere that everybody's upset about. And everybody else is furnishing the confusion. What if you as is the victim? Or cleared him, or freed him, or did something with him, or straightened him up so he was no longer a victim. What? How much confusion do you think would then generate? Very little. And the amount of destruction would be very poor. Now, some people's idea of living a full life is to have everything in total confusion all the time. Some adventurers and some readers of adventure books think that real adventure is based on totally forgetting your paddles just as you step into the canoe above Niagara Falls. That's the way they go about it, you know. But is it true? Funny part of it is, I never had any fun doing that. It's fun to read about somebody doing that, maybe. Maybe. But the most adventure I think I've ever had is when everything was remembered every place and it all went off smooth. You know, you can get an idea of a world where things ran smoothly, which was not boring. But the aberrated people's biggest defensive statement on the subject of having an interesting world is that it must be aberrated. We get it expressed in some character, I've forgotten his name. He lived in the later Stone Age. Froude, that was it, Froude. That wasn't it. Anyway, he said, to be artistic, you have to be aberrated. Now, if you're really going to do anything artistic any place, why, first you have to be crazy. And if you did anything artistic, then this is a direct proof that you are crazy. A direct proof. Is that true? You know, I've never seen an artist yet who didn't draw better pictures when he was clearer. So, this fellow, what I've got his name? I know, Menninger, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, I knew I'd remember it and so forth. Plumber, he is. Plumber. Invented plumbing. He says you got to be crazy in order to do anything. Or maybe it isn't Menninger, maybe it's Dr. Spongecake. But anyhow, this is the idea that an interesting life must be a confused, hectic, miserable life. And that isn't true at all. You look back on the best days you ever had, and I am sure the days that you look back on, find most interesting and so forth, everything went off like clockwork, which calls a lie to that aberrated statement. And that's the only single reach that aberration has. is to try to tell everybody that they're much better off if it's all confused. And the total postulate surrounding aberration is not let it be light, but let it be confused. And the excuse for doing this, amongst many excuses, is that life, which is not confused and destructive and so forth, is not interesting. Of course, that isn't true at all. Now, a clear escapes that squirrel cage, that rat race, and is able to take a look at things as they are. He finds they are much more interesting. It is much more interesting to live at 1,000 kW than 1/1,000,000th of 1 amp. Much more interesting. Now, it's much more interesting to live smoothly than appetite over tin cup. Much. Now, Clear learns these lessons. A mess clear is clear on the first. Theta clear is clear on the first, second, and third. When you're looking at any higher state than this, you're looking up toward OT. When an individual got clear on the sixth, for instance, he has to keep putting the world there for himself. It has to be total postulate until he finally decides to put it there by postulate, and then he remembers that he's putting it there by postulate, and he's okay, he's still got something to walk on. Which, to an aberrated person, would be a great relief. But to a clear, is just something he knows he would have to do. Got the idea? The life we are living is not necessarily all the life there is to live. But to have much wider horizon, one must be able to look more widely. Looking more widely, living more widely, being less fixed and bound by what one is supposed to do and how one is supposed to be, a clear is able to experience and to bring about experience adequate to, you might say, a very interesting life. Below that level, he is simply more and more confused. So it's a state worth attaining. It can be attained today. Nobody's giving you a sales talk today. Dynex, Modern Science of Mental Health. We talked about clears. Clears had been made. They went into an eclipse for a long time. They came out clear back in 57. We've been making them since that time. We've been making mostly, however, mess clears, and they've been fading off and on. Now we're making some theta clears. They are around now, and the old man's interested these days in whopping up a half a dozen OTs and see if we can't get things straightened out all very nice in all the proper slots. So, do you know any more about it now?
Yeah.
Thank you.